We must break our addictions to entertainment. Amen? It's as simple as that. When I was 10 years old, I used to listen to NWA. Anybody ever hear NWA? Niggas with an Attitude. They were cool. That was a cool thing to listen to. Gangsta rap music. And you think that I woke up one morning and said, as I was thinking, you know what would be cool to find? If I could find some black guys in the ghetto writing music about shooting people and raping women and doing a lot of drugs. Man, that would be really cool. Where can I find that? Where can I find that? No. It was sold to me as an impressionable 10-year-old child. It was marketed to me. Two Live Crew. Are you guys familiar with Two Live Crew? They were banned. They were banned in this country. That's how perverse their lyrics were. I used to watch them on MTV when I was 10 years old. Every song was about sex, sex, sex. I can't even repeat the names of many of their songs that I used to listen to as a 10-year-old child on MTV. I would watch MTV for hours as a young kid. Because what else did you have to do? I was a bored teenager. Nobody told me to work. Nobody told me to get a job. Nobody told me to be productive. Nobody told me what a man was supposed to be. And so mom and dad were out working. My mom usually, as a single mother, had two or three jobs. So I was home till 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, from the time I got home from school. Play video games, watch TV. I could watch whatever I wanted on the old cable television. MTV was cool. The average age of the viewer of MTV is the age ranges between 8 and 12 years old. So you have highly paid 40 and 50-year-old men and women, executives, making six-figure incomes, producing programming for 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old children with one goal in mind. And so what has it produced? I skipped a little bit of my talk about the 60s. I'm sure you all are probably familiar with what took place in the 60s, the cultural revolution in our culture. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll became the thing in the hippie movement. Jimi Hendrix, the Doors, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles. It's not a coincidence that all those same bands have been rehashed and remarketed to every successive generation since. When I was a kid, I had every Jimi Hendrix album. How did I know who Jimi Hendrix was? Because he was marketed to me. When I go to the music store, there was a big Jimi Hendrix poster, which was designed to attract and entice my eye. This is cool, Purple Haze. Yeah. And I started listening to Jimi Hendrix at 13 years old. 14 years old, I was smoking dope and fornicating. But it's just innocent music. Is this entertainment? Is this fun? If it's just entertainment, I want you to go home and Google the Beatles. And what you will find, most headlines about the Beatles title them as the cultural transformers, cultural revolutionaries, the band, the four men that changed the culture, that changed Western civilization. But it's just music. Just music. They're just a couple young guys having fun. What's wrong with that, mom and dad? It was all about sex, drugs, rock and roll. Do what makes you feel good. It's all about you. It's all about what you want. Never mind your old parents and their old outdated fuddy-duddy ideas. You have to be free. Do what you want to do. Live it up and have fun. And that has just continued. From the 60s now, we've had 50 years. 50 years. More than enough time to analyze, observe, and inspect the fruit. And it is utterly, absolutely destructive. In the 50s here in Wisconsin, there was one divorce for every nine marriages. One divorce for every nine marriages. It's far less than 10% of kids, somewhere around 5% of kids were illegitimate in the 50s, depending on which state you lived in. Today, those numbers are completely reversed almost. The crime rate from 1950 to 1970 skyrocketed. Drug abuse, drug addiction skyrocketed. Suicide skyrocketed. Broken families, unwanted children, abortion, killing of our own children skyrocketed. What politics couldn't do, what a religious movement couldn't do, what a foreign invader couldn't do, music did. Rock and roll was the driving vehicle of the social revolution of the 60s. It was rock and roll mingled with occultic and humanistic, atheistic philosophy. Here's a quote from a book called The 50s. It was a historian, recent historian's account of that decade. He says, in this new subculture of rock and roll, the important figures of authority were no longer mayors or parents or governors. They were disc jockeys who reaffirmed the right to youthful independence and guided teenagers to their new rock heroes. You hear that? The new heroes of the culture in the 50s and on into the 60s, and it's still this way today, all the more so. It's not the parents. They're not the heroes of the teenagers. It's the disc jockeys on the radio who affirm the right to youthful independence and guide teenagers to their new rock heroes. The young formed their own communities. For the first time in American life, they were becoming a separate, defined subculture. As they had money, they were a market. And as they were a market, they were listened to and catered to. Elvis was, of course, the first beneficiary. In effect, he was entering millions of American homes on the sly. If the parents had had their way, he would most assuredly have been barred. End quote. Here's another book by Dan Peters. Why Knock Rock? He says this. He says, by the time Elvis Presley had checked into the Heartbreak Hotel in the early 50s, radio had already become tremendously important as a conveyor of rock and roll's message. Suddenly, 17 million teenagers were virtually putty in the hands of the country's DJs. Albert Goldman, Presley's biographer, noted, quote, as these kids got up in the morning or came home from school, as they rode in cars or lay on the beach with their portables, as they did their homework in the evening or snuggled in their beds at night with the lights out, in their minds open in the most suggestible condition, the DJs enjoyed an incomparable opportunity to mold the imagination of an entire generation. The DJs, men behind the music industry, enjoyed an incomparable opportunity to mold the imagination of an entire generation. Encyclopedia Britannica says this, rock and roll music likewise began to express the adolescent yearnings and forbidden desires that were previously repressed. Rock and roll music likewise began to express the adolescent yearnings and forbidden desires that were previously repressed. John Denver's famous quote, he said that rock music is a greater influence over the souls of men than primitive Christianity. I don't know how many Christian weddings and receptions, how many Christian quote-unquote parties, Christian venues I've been to, where they hire out a DJ who plays the old, good old rock and roll. Just give me a good old rock and roll. It makes me want to vomit. The music is ungodly. It was a vehicle for social change. It was a vehicle used to destroy the values of this country, to destroy Christianity and the Christian ethics that repressed sexual freedom in young people. And they have indeed successfully liberated them, and our culture is self-destructing. I looked at the top 40 charts as I was preparing the sermon. How many songs? How many of you guys listen to top 40 radio stuff? Pop music. Turn on the radio. Just listen to it. Nobody probably wants to confess to that now. I couldn't find a song that promoted strong marriage. I could not find one song that promoted men being faithful to their wives. I couldn't find a song that encouraged self-discipline, self-control, honor, and integrity. I find a lot of music talking about love. Love. Love has become, after the 60s transformation, love has become merely a euphemism for sex. When you hear a pop song that's talking about love, they're talking about sex or romantic lust. That's what they're talking about. Love is all you need, the Beatles' famous song. Love is all you need, right? And love is what it's all about. That's a euphemism for sex. It's all about sex. Well, I also went back to the 50s. And I looked at the top 40 charts in the 50s. So what were the top 40 music then? And I was equally hard-pressed to find noble, virtuous music. That's just the oldies. Ain't nothing wrong with the oldies. Don't pick on the oldies. The oldies are what produced our culture today. You want to turn on the Beatles and think the Beatles are harmless fun. They deliberately, systematically, consciously subverted our entire culture and are responsible for Eminem, gangsta rap, and all the filth and perversion and garbage that floods the airways of our TV, of our radios today. Now, they probably would recoil at bands like Two Live Crew and NWA. They probably didn't intend to produce that. And that is the great problem. That's the great illusion of the whole sexual liberation fallacy. Richard Wagner, when he wrote his great sensual romance, probably did not intend to foresee Two Live Crew and NWA 150 years later, walking in footstep with the musical tradition he had carved out. He probably, I'm sure, would have been horrified at modern gangster rap music. But nonetheless, he bears responsibility because he opened the door, and his philosophy is their philosophy. They are the logical conclusion of his philosophy. They are the logical conclusion of Friedrich Nietzsche's philosophy. NWA, niggas with an attitude, let's go rob some white folks in the suburbs and rape their women. That's the logical conclusion of the Beatles. And if you don't believe it, you haven't thought seriously enough and done enough research on this topic, because I guarantee you, one follows naturally and logically from the other. You want to tell young people that it's all about them, and they can do whatever they want to do, and their happiness is the bottom line, you are going to get barbaric savages very quickly in your nation. When you destroy the moral order of God, tear down the moral law of God, man becomes a beast. It may take him a generation or two to get there, but that's what he becomes. Well, hope I've made my thoughts clear enough on what I think about popular music today. Popular music of the last 60 years. If you are a person who just haphazardly turns on the radio, and you just listen to whatever the pop station is playing, I want to say to you, if you're offended by this, I'm sorry, you are a fool. I say that because I love you, but you are a fool. I don't care if you're 12 years old or 50 years old, you are a fool. If you just turn on whatever radio station and just let it play, thinking it's innocent and is not going to affect you. Music, as we started this whole topic with, is extremely powerful. And it is being used as a tool to manipulate young people. I wonder why so many kids have ADD today? It seems half or more of the young people I talk to are on some type of medication. And I will usually ask them, what kind of music do you listen to? And I'll go through the whole thing I went through. And they say, oh, I listen to all kinds of music, rap and rock and country. And, of course, all that music is beat and rhythm-driven music. So all this. Now, if you listen to this all day, yeah, you try to listen to me and I'm trying to talk to you, what kind of conversation can we have? Hey, how you doing today? How's your homework? What did your professor tell you? What are you learning in school? It gets a little irritating, doesn't it? We wonder why kids are on ADD medication, why they can't concentrate, why they can't think straight. How many hours of music do you listen to a day? What kind of music do you listen to? All kinds. Rap, 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 rap. All rhythm-driven music, beat-driven music. I like the beat. I just like the beat. Yeah, well, take your ADD pills and crank it up, okay? Wonder why you're a sex-filled maniac at 15 and 16 years old. Wonder why you have a bad relationship with your mother and father at 15 and 16 years old. Wonder why you have a hard time paying attention and following logical progressions of thought. Who can think clearly when you have this going in your ear all day? We must break our addictions to entertainment. Amen? It's as simple as that. We must break our addictions to entertainment. Mom and dad, children, this is a collective effort. Your good old oldies from the 50s, you cannot indulge on and expect that your children are not going to be listening to T.I. and Black Eyed Peas and Rihanna and whatever other filth is out there today that calls itself music. You understand that? Is that clear? You can't indulge in your good old oldies. You think that your kids won't listen to a rehashing of that music in today's culture. Francis Schaeffer, in his book, The Great Evangelical Disaster, he said this. He said, the last 60 years have given birth to a moral disaster. He wrote this in the 80s. He said, the last 60 years have given birth to a moral disaster. And what have we done? Sadly, we must say that the evangelical world has been part of the disaster. With tears, we must say that a large segment of the evangelical world has become seduced by the world spirit of this present age. And I think he hits the nail on the head. Hollywood wouldn't be what it is. Blockbuster Video wouldn't be what it is. Music stores wouldn't be what they are. If Christian children with mom and dad's money were not buying their products. Sadly, we must say that the evangelical world has been part of the disaster. With tears, we must say that a large segment of the evangelical world has become seduced by the world spirit of this present age. We must break our addictions to entertainment. It's as simple as that. We're all affected by this. I'm affected by this. I was raised and nurtured from the time I was a young child, to worship sex, to worship entertainment, to worship myself. Satanism in its most pure form, the worship of self. We're all influenced by this. We're all affected by it. We must break free. We must get out of the matrix and recognize the disaster that is looming over this country and over all Western society as we become more and more addicted to perverse and perverser forms of entertainment. It's sugar-coated poison. Again, I'll say it, loose sexuality always leads to chaos and the implosion of a society. It always, always, always leads to that. Young people, if you have this attitude and think you need to be free, learn the lessons of history. Learn the lessons of history. It's all been done before. Many, many young people have thought the same things. And all you have to do is look at where they ended up. It's not a place you want to end up. It's much better to follow God. It's much better to obey your Creator now. Be a radical. Be a revolutionary today. Be a rebel today. Be countercultural today. Be anti-establishment today. Stand up and be a godly young man. Stand up and be a godly young woman. William Penn said it best. He said, men will either be governed by God or they'll be ruled by tyrants. Which is it going to be for you? Young people here, you are the future of this country. The teenagers here, the teens, the tweens, the young 20s. The fate of this country is in your hands now. What decision are you going to make? What kind of person are you going to be? Will you allow yourself to be continually exploited and manipulated by the culture? Oh, you stand up and be different. I want to close with this here. The question that I often get after I go through this with a lot of people is, well, then what should I listen to? How do I know what's good and bad? Because the fact is, most modern Christian music is kind of lame. That's true. Most modern Christian music is lame. So the first thing I tell young people, like Dietrich, who say hallelujah to that, is I say, you be a better musician. You be a better Christian musician. Produce radical Christian music. Produce music that will change the culture. Produce music that will set a new standard. Most Christian musicians just try to fit the patterns of the world. They try to model themselves and look like what the world is selling. And they just make a cheaper, more shallow, superficial version of it. Because the world has real raw emotion. They have real despair in their music. And that's a touching expression of art. There is real hopelessness communicated in modern music. That is a real expression. Christians have the same image, but it's a light and fluffy version of it. Who wants to listen to that? That's nauseating. So what we need is Christians, particularly young Christians, who have a vision to recreate better music, to produce and innovate and set new standards in music instead of following the patterns of the world. Be inspired, young people, to do something different. Change your culture. Change your generation. You set a standard. Be an innovator. You don't have to follow your parents' music either. You don't have to try to fit into their little mold either. You be an innovator in your world today. And you do it for God's glory. And He'll bless it. Three principles for good music. This is the Lee Smith principle. Criteria, good standard for music. Here's three things that should help you. Okay, you can write these down if you'd like. Three principles for good music. One, is it true art? True art. That's to say, is it a true expression of the artist? And is it true to life? A lot of modern art is not. It's fake. Vanilla Ice was a folk musician and an alternative rocker. And when he got signed to a record label, they said, well, folk, you know, alternative rockers like you are not what's selling right now. We're looking actually for a white rapper. And we've already got some songs made up for you. All you got to do is get a new haircut, put on some new clothes, and let us video record you dancing. And Ice Ice Baby was a multi-million dollar success. Vanilla Ice was phonier than a $2 bill. But that sold. Most gangster rap artists are phonies. NWA, when they came out, Dr. Dre and these guys, they were phony balonies. Many of them were middle class black kids trying to sell music. And they actually did more to produce the reality of their music than actually accurately represent what had been the reality of their lives. So true art, true expression in music is something that you should desire. Music that's true to life. The second thing is its lyrical content. What is its lyrical content? This is a big thing for me. What sort of a moral standard is communicated? What sort of philosophy? What sort of worldview is communicated through the music? Is it wholesome? Bottom line, I don't care how much I like the beat. If they're talking garbage, I'm turning it off. Why? Because I'm holier than thou, because I'm self-righteous? No. Because I don't want to be defiled and influenced by garbage. I wouldn't walk down the street and if some guy was just walked up to me and said, hey, here's a bottle of Fluffy Fluff. You want to drink it? Well, sure. Fluffy Fluff looks good. I like the packaging. Blah, 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 blah. And what stupidity. But we'll turn on the radio. Hey, what's like playing on the radio? I like this. What are they talking about? I don't know, but it sounds good. Let's analyze the lyrics. Oh, they're talking about... Well, I'm not going to get into what modern music talks about. We know what it talks about. Well, I didn't know it was talking about that. No, drink your Fluff and Fluff. Take your ADD medication. Prepare yourself for 40 years from now, 20 years from now. Have a broken family. Kids that don't know you. A couple of ex-wives that hate you. And a lot of struggle, tears, and scars in life. That's the life you want to live. 20 years from now, you want to have a healthy marriage, healthy children that love and respect you, a life that reflects virtue. And you got to have a little more wisdom than just to turn on and open your soul up to whatever is being played on the radio because it's got a cool beat. What are the lyrics? I want to know who this person is. And what are they trying to communicate to me? And if I don't know it, I don't listen to it. If somebody wants me to listen to it, I'll listen to it with a critical ear. And I'll do some research. It takes 2 seconds to go to Google and type in lyrics of any song you want and pulls up right there. You can look at all the lyrics of whatever music you want. If the lyrics are garbage, it's because the person is garbage. And they don't care about you and making you a better person. And you don't need to be listening to them. Simple as that. So one, is it true to art? Is it true art? Two, does it have wholesome lyrical content? And the third thing is, personally, how does it affect you? Because the fact is, music affects different people differently. For a long time, I didn't listen to Christian rap music. I like some Christian rap artists today. I'm not opposed to Christian rap. But for a lot of years, I didn't listen to Christian rap because I listened to a lot of rap as a heathen. And just hearing rap beats and the whole aura and spirit of the music had a lot of negative associations for me personally. And so I didn't listen to it for a lot of years. And I still listen to it on a very limited basis. So you have to recognize how music affects you. It may affect you worse than it affects another person. If it's having a negative effect on your attitude, it's having a negative effect on your behavior, it's making you lazy, making you self-absorbed, giving you a bad attitude, then you shouldn't be listening to it. Simple as that. If you want to know, ask your parents. Ask your friends around you. How do I act in this music? So I think if you do those things, it will help you in what you're listening to if you're trying to figure out where is some good music. There are some good Christian artists out there. You just have to look for them. Or just become one yourself. Amen? But to simply say, well, I like the beat, it sounds good. If that's the only reason you're listening to a song, that's pretty lame. It's like drinking poison because it tastes good. Well, let's close. There's a couple of things I'd like to recommend if anybody wants to do some further study on this. There's a good video series called They Sold Their Soul for Rock and Roll. How many have ever seen that? I think Dave Melstrand gave me that a few years back. Great film. I don't necessarily agree with everything in there, but that's probably true of most things. In that film, they say that most of rock and roll music was satanically inspired and that there was a lot of occult satanic activity involved in the early rock and roll music. And there is a lot of truth in that. There was a lot of occultism. The Rolling Stones, the Beatles were very involved in a lot of occult stuff, satanic stuff. But I don't think that explains everything. I think there is also just the fact that there was a lot of opportunists trying to make money. And I think that also explains a lot of the pervasiveness of rock and roll music. But it's a great film. They sold their soul for rock and roll. I encourage you to see it. For those of you that like to read, you want maybe a good book to read as a family, some devotional material, the book The Marketing of Evil. How many of you ever read that book by David Kapelian? The Marketing of Evil. Great book. Again, you don't necessarily agree with everything in it, but a lot of great truths about how evil and perversion is literally marketed and sold to our young people. So again, I'll close with this. We have to get free from our addiction to entertainment. We have to be men of honor. Fathers, we have to be men of integrity. We have to be men of integrity. The spirit of our age, we are taught to worship sex, and we have to determine to rise above it. Amen? And good, wholesome, godly music will help you. And cutting off a lot of the filthy music, if you're one who listens to that stuff. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this day, Father, and as inadequate as I am in delivering this and being long-winded, I know, Father, I just pray that some of these things would sink into our hearts. Father, we take them seriously. And I pray that you'd give us a love for purity, a love for what is good, and not to be inclined into our baser passions and instincts and drives, Father. I pray for the young people in here, Father, you give them strength of heart, courage, desire to be young men and women of honor and integrity and purity of heart. I pray that we all recognize the destructive influence of popular music in our culture. We recognize it for the evil, manipulative tool that it is, that we would not feed into it and be exploited or manipulated by it. Pray for those with musical gifts in here, Father, that you'd inspire them to produce music, to bring about greater worship of you, individually, corporately, and for our culture at large. May we have some revolutionary musicians in this church, Father. Pray for the families in this congregation, strengthen them, renew their love for each other. The hearts of the children and the parents be united in love and respect and honor. And Father, thank you for those that are here. We just pray you impress these truths in our hearts, Father, and make us better Christians. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.